Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 434. We're discussing the 5-step action plan to a happy and healthy marriage, written by Rabbi Shlomo Slavkin. It's very, very informative and constructive. And we went through 3 steps. The first step is to commit to being in your marriage, in your relationship. Step number 2 was to remove outside influences by closing exits that would distract you from being in your marriage relationship. Step number 3, which was last year, is to, now that you have committed and now that you have sealed off those exits, you take the relationship and you remove all the negativity from the relationship. When you're ready to remove that from the last year, now comes step number 4, which is called acknowledge the other, which means that being in your relationship, in your marriage, you'll look at it completely in an entirely new way by learning how to listen and to talk with your husband, with your wife, in a manner that brings about a greater connection and what he calls less reactivity. We're learning not to be reactive, but to connect and to be proactive. You can acknowledge your husband or wife both when you speak and when you listen. If you're the speaker, if you're the one talking now, you need to think as you're talking and to consider what is the goal of your discussion, of what you're saying, for bringing up the topic that you're bringing up now. And is it a good time for your spouse to listen right now? And if you are a listener right now, and your husband or wife is the one who's doing the talking, you want to prepare yourself to realize that it's not about you, it's about your spouse who's talking. Even if you know you're about to be criticized, you keep an open mind and recognize that it's about that other person and how they need to be helped. So the first step is to keep that goal in mind. When you're engaging in your relationship, in your marriage, you have a clear picture of what you want to accomplish. You ask yourself with every interaction of speaking or of listening, do you want to connect or do you want to disconnect? When you speak to your spouse, what are the desired results that you want? And how can you achieve those positive results? Will yelling at your spouse bring you any closer together? Most likely not. And therefore, that's not the way to behave. You think of other healthier ways to achieve that goal of connection that you want to achieve. And if you're really truly decided that your goal is to connect with your husband and wife, then it's important to create a safe environment in which to share together. First step is to make sure it's a good time to talk. You know, people come home and they're hungry or they're tired from a long day of work. And you come in and your spouse is venting at you. Or maybe you're writing an important email and your spouse interrupted you as you were busy with this important email to talk about an issue, and it catches you off guard. And because it catches you off guard, you're not giving him or her a chance to show up to be your best self, to be a most attentive and loving self. So the first step is, if you want your husband or wife to listen and hear you out and not be reactive, you need to know for sure, you must make sure that it's the good time right now to talk. So for example, in a case where the husband is coming home immediately, straight coming home from work, and he wants to complain to his wife about the house being messy, that's setting her up for a fight or a flight mode, because you're dumping, basically. You're expecting your wife to listen to you without her responding and you venting about why you're upset, why the house is in a disarray. She will not appreciate being told that what she did was wrong, or how much she's frustrated. The reverse is also true. He comes home and the wife vents and lets it out on her husband as the husband enters the house. So both of them could be guilty of this dumping. Dumping meaning you vent when you're tired and you just came home and you're overwhelmed. Whether the husband's coming home overwhelmed or the wife is, or whether the one in the house is overwhelmed when the other spouse comes in. So this dumping, which is sort of like a venting, is threatening. It will hold back your spouse from feeling safe enough to listen and be there for you. So you need to ask yourself, what's my intention for having this conversation? Do you want your spouse to really hear you out? Or do you just want to hurt your husband or wife, or you want to dump on them? So the intention of any interchange, of any exchange that a husband and wife has, even if it is a challenging issue, the purpose has to be connection. Even if it's a difficult subject, the purpose has to be connection. That is the goal. The ultimate goal is to connect. And if you're going through a bump in a road and you have to discuss it, you navigate how to connect. But that is your main goal. And when you have that main goal in mind and you work towards that, it'll be easier to have these conversations. Sometimes you may have to ask your husband or wife, you know, and say to them, I'd like to make an appointment to share something with you. Is it a good time now? It sounds strange because you're living in the same house. What do you mean an appointment? I'm here and you're here. Let's talk. But the idea being, that shows concern. That's saying that you are the listener. You're going to be receiving what I'm saying. I want you to be, you know, in a proper frame of mind. So let's work out a time that would be best for this. So the person listening has advance notice. And they'll be more likely to hear you in a less defensive way if you set up a specific time after you've eaten or after you rested a little bit and you're less tired. Let's say right now is not a good time to talk. So that often is a good thing. When you know it's not the right time to talk right now and you push it off for a time where you're more rested. Like, for example, if immediately coming home from home and there's a lot of things that happened that day, the wife wants to talk to the husband talk to the wife, but they're both somewhat tense or hungry or tired. So it may not be the best time to have that discussion now. And to postpone it is actually a good thing. Now, usually what happens is one of the spouses is very impulsive and wants to unleash and just let it out. But if you're that ready to do that and just let it out, but if your spouse is not able to listen at this time, that will create an argument, you know? So the idea is that postpone it. Maybe it won't be as urgent later, or even if it is, it'll be more beneficial for the listener, because if now is not a good time because now you just got home from work or you're hungry or you're tired or the kids are you know, being active and it's hard to manage them, you know, and deal with what your husband has to say. You're not right now mentally or emotionally able to listen. So you won't escalate the tension by talking about it now when now is not the right time. So you could postpone it and say, let's set up an appointment to talk about what we need to talk about. But it's very important when you do that to do it within a 24-hour period. Could be later that night or very shortly after or the next day at most. The problem is if one spouse always says it's not a good time, it's not a good time, it's not a good time, and the one who wants to talk never has a chance to talk, they'll feel unheard, they'll feel resentful, and sometimes you're procrastinating. But if the intent is not to procrastinate, but rather you want to deliver that message and you're not procrastinating and you're going to make sure you do have this conversation within 24 hours, within 48 hours, then really it is sort of like what you're saying now, is that now is not a good time. And I really want to hear what you have to say. Could we talk later tonight? Could we talk, tomorrow when I'm more rested? When you schedule within the next 24 hours to speak on a conversation where you pushed it off because you were tired or overwhelmed, and now you scheduled it within the next 24 hours, that shows clearly you're not pushing your husband or wife off. And even if you may not want to really hear about the conversation, but you are giving him or her a time that when you will be available and feel safer. And once the appointment is made, it shows that you care and the tension will go down. And then within a 24-hour period, they will have that discussion. What we're talking about here about discussion, by the way, it's not the topic now, but just to mention it. Same goes with scheduled intimacy. If a husband and a wife is planning scheduled intimacy and one of them is not feeling well, tired, or just they're not up to it, so they ask politely, you know, please let's have a rain check because right tonight I'm really, you know, not 100% and I'm wiped out or whatever it is. And the other one is understanding and says, sure, that's fine. But the rain check is a rain check, which means it's not that, oh, we're going to just skip this completely and go to whatever the next scheduled night is. But no, you make up for it the next night. That shows a commitment. That shows that when you gave that rain check, it wasn't because you were pushing away your spouse or rejecting your spouse or anything like that. It's just because you were not up to it, which is perfectly fine. And the other spouse has to understand and accept that no in a graceful, mature, loving way. But at the same time, the next night, I'm feeling better. And the one who said no the previous night initiates now. He says, yes, now I feel much better. You want to spend time again together. That is the healthy way of doing it with intimacy. It's a healthy way of doing it with any type of connection in the marriage, including conversations that you want to talk about or that you need to talk about. So that's very, very important. There needs to be a goal for connection in mind. Even if, let's say, one of you is listening to the shiurim, the other one isn't, the one who's listening needs to have the goal of connection in mind. When you have that connection in mind, then your spouse, even if they're not listening to shiurim right now, they'll still feel safer, and it'll help them feel more comfortable, and they'll be willing to engage more in the relationship, and they will ultimately catch on and understand this if you know how to handle this right. So this is very, very important. The key is to enter the world of the other, meaning of your husband and wife. We had shiurim about entering the world of your husband or wife, even though it's not your own. You acknowledge that person completely, which means that you're ready to listen to another person. You're ready to understand him or her in the context of his reality or her reality, not your own. That's a big yesod. And the number one reason people are not able to really listen to their husbands or wives is their inability to enter the other person's world or validate his or her experience. We become self-absorbed, and our ego prevents us from making this trip to see the world of our husband or of our wife, because we think we're giving up our own opinions, or we're losing ourselves or losing our identity if we fully listen. We cannot escape into our own self-absorption or our own world. We need to listen completely when we're listening to the other person's world and embrace it. We can't even use Torah or looking in Svarim as an escape hatch. When you need to connect to your wife, you need to connect to your wife. Now, this concept of understanding what your husband or wife is saying and bringing their world into your own does not mean that you have to be a doormat. That doesn't mean they walk over you. It doesn't mean that you're mevatel your brains completely to what they're saying. No, you respect their world, and you're making space for them in the relationship. The problem we have is we tend to see things through the vantage point of ourself. That's self-absorption. Some aspect of self-absorption or ego or self-interest is necessary for our survival. You know, if we wouldn't have any self-interest at all, we wouldn't eat, we wouldn't protect ourselves from danger, and we wouldn't, you know, we would be in danger from many, many things. Our self-absorption or our interest in ourself, quote-unquote our selfishness to a certain degree, helps us remain safe because we're creating our world of protection. But the problem with this is if we're so stuck in this world, we assume that everyone is experiencing life the same way we are, and we have a hard time making sense of anything else. That's why very often people are frustrated in marriage, not because there's anything really wrong with your husband or wife, but simply because you are a different human being. And you are indeed in a different world because you have a different mindset. Kishem she'ein partzufoiseyem shavos, kach ein deoiseyem shavos. Just like the people's facial expressions or face is totally different, their minds are totally different. Certainly a husband and wife. So this is the idea. The idea is that, you know, let's say you enjoy a specific food, and you enjoy it very, very much. Someone else finds that food actually nauseating. So, you know, this is an issue where the one who finds it nauseating, they wouldn't eat it. They assume no one else could eat it either. So why are you eating this thing, right? Like, for example, for most people, they like ice cream, right? So you see somebody that says, I don't like ice cream. What do you mean? How could you not like ice cream? What's wrong with you? Or your favorite music, or your political party, or your hashkafa. In other words, we believe in something we like or something we think a certain way. So we assume in the back of our minds, even though it's not logical, we assume everyone must feel that way. How could they not feel that way? And that is an issue in marriage, because this symbiosis, this looking at your individual truth, it causes us to not be able to sense the experience of the other person because it differs from our perspective. And so not only doesn't it make sense, we begin to feel unsafe, right? So then we respond from a place of fear. And we try to protect ourselves, and we become reactive, and we can't listen. So the idea is to break that reactivity. We need to create that retraining our brain, and to break this symbiosis, meaning to be totally self-absorbed, to take the eye out of the listener so that we can truly hear what our spouse is saying. That ultimately is the art of true deep listening, which we had. And we're going to continue to have shiurim on to discuss how to do this, how to deeply listen and allow your husband or wife's world to enter your world. So this is the idea that is extremely important about breaking our reactivity and learning to accept the world of the other. So we're going to be Mamshech Be'ezus Hashem in the upcoming shiur. But just to review briefly, now step one was that you committed to the relationship. Step number two is that you removed the outside unhealthy influences and you sealed off those unhealthy exits. So now it's you and your spouse alone. Step number three is between yourselves. Now that your energy is focused on each other, you remove the negative energy. And then now step number four is now you embrace each other. Acknowledge the other. You start connecting with each other. You start learning how to speak and listen and enter the other person's world and to embrace it. It doesn't mean you're a doormat, like we said, but it means that you're giving space to the other in the relationship. And that is a tremendous step in growth in marriage and as a human being. And it brings a tremendous amount of joy and peace of mind as we go along. Be'ez Hashem will continue discussing this in the upcoming share.